No, it's interesting because I've had the same sort of sentiment. This was very much one of those years that getting into it was a lot of recalling what is supposed to be done. Like, what are you supposed to do? How is this supposed to play out? This is, I have to, what do I do again? It was like a 12 Christmas, which didn't mean it was anything but 12. 12 seems to kind of like devour everything into itself and just spit it out 12. I don't know, have you noticed that at all? Like, it just.
Really good. I felt the even preparing and going and knowing I was going to spend a lot of time with a lot of people, which we're not used to anymore, to be honest. I felt really good about it the whole time. Like being caused, like I went in there and I'm like, I'm gonna have the experience I wanna have. And so it was good. It's not holding space and it's not really being patient. It's
It's not in.
tolerant. It was a tolerant in a polite way.
That's interesting because in 12, you get invitations to violate your integrity. That's like what the interaction with the reality is.
That's
Would you like to
interesting.
violate your integrity now? And how much? Did you feel
Can you give
any
an
of that where you
example of that?
thought, oh no, what?
Can you give an example of what you mean by that?
Chocolate cake. Oh, you
No.
have one piece, and somebody says, no, just have another one. And then have this is, you haven't tried this, and you haven't tried that, and you haven't tried this. You have to try it all.
Oh, that's a
But
really good example.
is giving in, because I understand the concept, obviously, of giving in, like giving a, like away your integrity or like. But I guess I was asking more is like, is it different?
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so let's do that. The cake or the multiple versions of whatever's on the buffet table. So I'm assuming family or some sort of social circle is imposing external pressures, right? You're at somebody's house. It's not like you fighting with yourself in the kitchen. Okay. So if they're in four and you're in five, then yeah, I mean, it's just one extra plate. It's just one extra mountain of food. It's fine. I'll be working out more tomorrow. And like the slip into something that you know doesn't feel right is really easy. You just slip like a slippery, icy slope. Easy. And you don't feel bad about it at the end because stuff happens. That's kind of the mentality. Stuff happens, so it doesn't matter. In eight, you start to see. You start to see who's talking to you through the people that you're in front of. So, is it Auntie Jane, or is it some entity that knows that I've made a commitment to not have sugar because I know that it makes my body feel inflamed and therefore I get in pain and I can't do my work or whatever it is? So, you start to see the manipulation of the conditions around you pulling you in, and it's not anymore an innocent proposition, have some cake. It's how much do you want to get out of center? Can I knock you off so that you get unstable? So by the end of the night and tomorrow morning, you're in depression. How much can I do? What are you going to let me do? So you're a little bit of a mark. Five is like whatever, but in eight, you're a little bit of a mark and they want to get to you. And you see it. So it's a little bit more unpleasant that way. And in 12, it's a solid, I know I'm walking into a situation with counter intention coming at me from every direction. And I would like to make it through that situation if I agree to go into that situation. In integrity. So, how am I going to do this? And so, that idea of being polite comes in. How do you politely say, actually, I've made a decision, which means cutting off all other options, not to have anything in excess of one slice of cake or whatever it is? Because then they'll look at you like you're completely psychotic. What do you mean you made a decision? We're in a social setting. And so now you've got
It's
conflict.
Christmas. What's the matter with you?
Whatever that, yeah. Like, I can't even. So, yeah. So then they get aggressive, and then you can get into fights. technically, it's like you're in a country where you're not allowed to drink. And you're saying, I'm going to drink here. So I'm flipping it a little bit, but you're in their country right now. You can't expect to impose 12 on them without them getting pissed off at you, because the gap is so big, it's uncomfortable. It's unreasonable to a point where it's rude of you.
Yeah, I think I only had one situation like that, but it seems to be always kind of with the same person. So I've kind of just found ways to avoid interaction, because I find that there's no way to do it anymore without getting to a point where you have to be rude at one point because they don't hear you. So.
How did you do it, yeah. Susan?
Do what?
Navigate from where you are with 4 and 5?
To say no. If you decide something, you decide something. Otherwise, if it's so easy to give and you actually didn't decide. You thought you made a decision, but you actually didn't. Mm. Then it's just an excuse. Oh, I'm doing it to be social. No. So it really was not a decision. It was a try.
So setting aside the whole holiday, end of year festivity context, all of you are in very specific places on your journeys, like really important, really specific places on your journeys. How is that feeling? How do you like where you are right now? How do you like yourself where you are right now? And nobody knows any of the context. So whatever you want to say, maybe give a little bit of background if you can.
I guess I'll jump in.
Dive in, yeah.
I mean, to put it simply, with everything that's happened in the last, 6 months, 8 months, however long it's been, I feel like I'm, like, getting to know myself again. Like, almost like the person who I was before all of that, like, was a different person. So I'm just, like, it's like I just feel like I'm reintroducing myself to myself. Like, not from scratch, but just, like, because I've been doing the stream of consciousness exercise of, like, writing down how I, nice. my relationship to myself.
How's it been going?
Good. Yeah, I've been doing it I think I only missed one day, I think. But I've been doing it consistently for the last, like, 2 weeks, something like that, 2.5 weeks. It's been good. It's been interesting. Like, I find in those moments when I'm super hyper-focused on that specific thing, I feel more in my body but out of body at the same time than I ever have before, if that makes any sense. And I think it has to do with the whole fact that, you know, in, what was it, July, that whole situation with the other consciousness casually coming into my body after blacking out casually. I mean, this is all, I'm making light of it, but I'm making light of what was at the time somewhat freaky situation. But, like, I think that kind of was the shift of, like, being in my body and what that means. So that's been kind of coming up in those stream of consciousness, you know, writing sessions.
That's really interesting. So in your body, but not in your body. How do you feel like that is a state in which you're more present,
mm-hmm.
or less present?
More present.
So isn't it interesting how the body becomes less of the primary focal point when we're in a deeper state of now. Is that not fascinating? We think that now is being so, so present in the physical world that we feel more of it. We feel our body more. We feel our organs moving. We feel all of the air around us changing as people walk by. And it, to a degree, yes, but it's more of the perception of it rather than the experience of it. And included in that advanced or more aware perception of things, you get to start to feel what's happening in the unseen, what's happening in those subtle realms. Does that get overwhelming?
For me now, less so. I think if you asked me that 6 months ago, I'd be like, yeah, it's overwhelming as hell. But now I think I don't know, maybe because I'm sort of recognizing like, okay, this is what I'm experiencing, the things that are happening to me where I'm, you know, engaging with, and, you know, other beings and stuff like that. It's just, it, I guess it's become normal to me now in a way. Like I guess I'm not so fazed by it anymore. So that's a good thing, I think.
It's a really good thing. Yeah.
So it's just like, was it two nights ago or something? I woke up from I think I was woken up actually, because it was like a fireball aimed at my head to like get me to get up. it was very weird. And then I woke up to immediately being like, I don't want to say confronted, but kind of like something was there right when I got up, and I was like, okay. So, and before I used to kind of like, it was like, what was it when you get paralyzed? What is it? What's it called?
What is it, Stephanie?
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah. Sleep paralysis. Thank you. Where it kind of feels like that, but now I'm like, doesn't happen like that anymore. So it's like baby step improvements.
Let's take another baby step together, shall we? Okay. For those of you who haven't talked about implants or haven't studied implants, let's touch upon implants for a second. A long, long time ago, and this was in the version of Earth One, there was an attempted planetary takeover that was successful. That means Gaia lost that round. As a result, feel what your body's doing right now. Like in this moment, what do you feel? Can you just give me, all of you, can you just give me a little bit of feedback on what your body is doing as I'm walking into this topic?
Had a little bit of burping happening.
Great. Anything else?
I feel that I'm hyperventilating. Like, okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. So 4-7, enjoy yourself. What about you, Stephanie and Jean? What do you feel?
No, I just felt my body kind of go in forward. Like I was like, tell me.
And Jean, when you hear implants, what do you feel? What does your body do?
When you hear what?
Implants, the topic about implants, not silicone-based implants, just energetic implants.
Thanks for that, when I hear implants. I know, I feel something over here.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's always here, actually, in my mouth.
Really?
My jaw, my lower jaw. Isn't that
interesting? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Gaia lost this particular round of attempted takeover, so it turned into a takeover. And there was a negotiation that took place with a main collective that won that round. And the negotiation involved setting up implant stations, let's say within the atmosphere of the planet, so that any being who is coming into an incarnation or reincarnation, anyone who comes into the body has to pass through or go through these implant stations, this layer of experience before they come into this world. So let's pretend we're talking about incarnation. We've got source, we've got life design, we've got soul design, we've got the blueprint, we pop into body. That's not the full story. There's many layers, and one of those layers is you finish life design, you have the soul. Before you fully come into body, your consciousness passes through a variety of implant stations depending upon what shit you're here to disturb, basically. So the bigger you are as a disruptor, the more implant stations you have to go through. Not like on a conveyor belt. It's more like hopping from one place to another because they are physically, hey, Tanya, around the planet. So it's atmospheric. Every implant station has something that looks like a central control panel. And it has many little beings working in this station. The reason I say little is because physically, if you were going to look at them physically, they're a species that just, it looks small, short legs, short torso, short neck, just short, short arms. And they're all in charge of ensuring that two things happen. One, the implants go into you before you come into this life fully. And two, they are reactivated on a continual basis. The implants are technically an energetic counterintention that is like inserted into your, let's say, field, but it influences the energetic mechanics of the physical body and the energetic aura, let's say, around you significantly. The interesting thing is that it does not influence your consciousness. Here's the interesting thing. Remember, teabag, consciousness leaves when you leave your body, right? Implants are specifically calibrated for every individual. Not everyone has the same set. There's not like a default combo we all get because we're human and we're all here now. It's very specific based on why you're here. It is the direct contradiction to what it is that you're here to do in your sacred contract retrieval, or all of the sacred contracts you have, even if they're joined with others. Direct contradiction. So look at how they are able to access the divine blueprint, read it and say, oh, that's not going to work for us. And then they put in an implant that looks like a capsule. It looks like a pill, but it's larger and it's energetic and it just goes into specific areas of your energetic, physical energetic mechanics. This happens so that the implants can begin to activate the moment you take your first breath. But specifically, the central control unit within the implant stations that are responsible for the implants that you got flips the switches to activate your implants at a very specific time. It's when you sleep. Implants are activated when you sleep, so that the moment you wake up in the morning is the moment. Dipali might be in a yoga class right now, so we will be streaming this content into the class. Hello, everyone. So the moment you wake up is the moment every single element of counterintention that is coming at you through your implants is reactivated. It can be a nap. It can be a full night's sleep, whatever that means for you. Every single time you fall asleep, the scripts within the implants just stop you from doing exactly why you're here to do what it is you're here to do, activate every single night.
So the secret is not to sleep.
Is that why I haven't been wanting to go to sleep? Okay, that makes sense.
Hey, Diwali, isn't that crazy? They know the mortal physical vessel of the species on Earth requires sleep. You go to sleep, they all reactivate to the same level of intensity the next day. The only way to navigate this life and not have those implants stop you is to be aware of when they activate, is to be aware of when they run their scripts so that you can stop them from running you by, and this goes back to what you were saying, Leah, being in the present moment as fully as possible, fully aware, and then going back to what Susan was saying, make a decision. If you know what your sacred contract is, if you know why you're here, even if it's, and I'm not minimizing this, but even if it's exclusively your own sacred contract and none of the other ones you have joint work with other people. This is where purposeful precision becomes the most important. I'm going to call it a weapon on purpose because this is quite an attack on the human experience. It becomes an extremely powerful weapon. If I know that I'm here to create the new, but one of my implants is to have a fear of the future because it's uncertain and I don't know if I'll survive it because the primal survival mechanism doesn't work in me, I am going to be fighting with create the new. I'm afraid of the future. The implant says you're afraid of the future. You don't know how to survive in the future because you don't know what it's like to really have a body. So you really have to be careful. And then creating the new is creating everything that hasn't been yet defined. So that's one of the implants that I've identified that hits me the moment I wake up. The way to identify your implants is to begin to notice those. They feel like chemical reactions in the body the moment you wake up. They're contractions. So you wake up and you think, oh God, why am I here? Notice the subtle nuance of why you just asked yourself that. Really important. If you have retrieved your sacred contract, you will have specific intelligence on what they are countering. I was going to say trying to counter, but they do really well. So what they are countering with the implants. So that even if they're there, you navigate the world from a place that is transcendent. So therefore they don't run you. How cool is that? Sleep. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's the exiting of the consciousness from the body that is the key element in sleep. Oh, here's another fun. This is just so great. Let's say that the energetic field around the physical body is two arm's lengths wide from a radius perspective. So two arm lengths, that's how big the radius. This is generalizing. If you sleep next to somebody and they are within your field, and their field is overlapping or touching or interacting with yours, when their implants get activated, they also activate in you, even if they're not yours.
That's not fair.
Wow. How does that even happen?
Little beings with a switchboard.
But, okay. But does it last, because you're saying it like runs, like it activates when we sleep and then kind of run in norm, I guess for most people runs them during the day or all day. That's right. So then if you're saying if you sleep
toast,
right,
and you put butter on it in the morning, a very thick layer, and all day long, the toast walks around the world being drenched with butter. And then it goes to sleep and it dries up for just like a second. And then they get another layer of butter smeared on it. So it's like this piece of toast constantly being smothered with butter.
But then you're also getting jam because the person next to you is...
That's right. So where's the clean bread? Yeah.
Where's the dry toast? In the
what? Yeah. Yeah.
That's not creepy at all.
And then, so we can remove them, right?
There's like millions of implants in the body.
Mm.
And from the perspective that I have today, it would be a colossal waste of vital energy to focus on extracting all of those things that are simply reinserted into you when you go to sleep. Going back to why is this happening? It's a contract with Gaia. When we design a life on this planet, we agree to that contract.
So you're saying there's no way to actually extract them?
There's ways to extract them, but they get reimplanted, so to speak, when you go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Awareness is the key.
Awareness is the key. Precision is the key. How do you get to precision? It's to know why you're here. It's a fascinating concept.
Is that contract with Gaia? This may be like a crazy, weird question, but is that contract with Gaia not forever. Is there like an
seven.
End?
I see it ending in seven if things go the way they're going. Obviously, I mean, there's no bodies in seven, so that makes sense. Yeah. How can you take this and leverage it to your advantage? Identifying contradictory narratives is one really key thing. So if you do the stream of consciousness writing exercise, where every day in the morning, you start by writing for, let's say, 15, 20 minutes, and you don't judge what you're writing, you don't plan what you're writing, you just write. A lot of different fun things you can do with that. Identify whether entities are speaking through you, because that's a whole other element of interference. You could also start to identify all of the sentences or the mental narrative that runs through you every day. And when you identify what that narrative is, identify the contradictions, the contradicting statements. Like the example I gave, I'm here to create the new, fear of the future. Find the contradictory statements, map them to your sacred contract, then you'll start to see what the implants are. And you don't technically have to go into the identification of the implants. Focus on why you're here. This is where alignment becomes the counter to that particular counter intention. And look at how the contract in the negotiation for Earth One's loss, there is a clause in that contract that says, if they know what alignment looks like, and if they are able to be aware in their waking state to what is happening around them and in them energetically, then they can transcend the influence of the implants. There is a clause that says that. So they give you a way out. And yes, when you are around other beings, their active scripts from the implants enter into your field. They interact with your active contradictory scripts. So it's interesting that social distancing came up in the last 3 years or so, because from a spiritual evolution perspective, it is very beneficial for us to be at two arms' length from everyone. It gives us the optimal amount of clarity while still being able to interact with other beings, because the interaction is very important for, let's say, soul family evolution. It's very, very important. But when it comes to interference from energies that are not yours, if you're not able to identify what's not yours, which takes a level of nuance that's like off the charts.
I guess for me, I'm just thinking, I'm just processing the entire thing in my mind, and I'm rethinking some of my practices that I do first thing and I wake up. So I've been doing the quantum frequencies playlists when I first wake up, just like as soon as I wake
that's
up.
That's amazing.
Because I find, for me, that has helped me kind of navigate right now. I would say over the last couple of days, I've had a massive headache for like the last 3 days, and just a lot of aches, like from the lower part of my body, like a lot of body aches, but I also feel a lot of things that are happening. I feel like life has sped up like times 10, I guess. So I don't know if that's some of what I'm feeling.
It is. The aches and the pains are quite an interesting dynamic, especially when you add accelerated reality, which naturally is happening as 4 and 5 are repudiating. Is that what it is? Disentangling those two realities. That naturally, if you're in 5, accelerated reality happens. When you're entering into an accelerated reality and it's that first entry into it, there is a difference between how your body used to be and how it is now. It's so palpable that the faster the oscillation of the cells in an accelerated reality can result in the identification of inflammation and other ailments in the body, misalignments, structural misalignments, where the bones and the ligaments are in a different position and the nerves are being pressed upon. Like that, where in four you didn't notice, now you start noticing because the cells are more communicative. So welcome to another level of clarity.
So I have one question to ask about the sleep, them implanting, because you said they implant during sleep.
Right before birth. They implant them. There's one moment of implant and then activation of them, reinforcement of them every time you sleep.
Okay. So.
Or every time you leave body. So if we're talking about consciousness leaving body, if you're doing a meditation and you're out of body, mm-hmm. then they do reactivate. So look at that. Isn't that interesting? Meditation can be a counter experience.
Yeah, because I was even thinking about, okay, so if you're not like fully sleeping, but you're in a meditative state, how that impacts as well. And then I'm also, how I'm looking at it is like, how do you reverse that?
Can't reverse it because the contract was established at the loss of the war. How does it impact when it comes to the meditative states? When you are still to a degree aware that you are in a body, you are in a sort of waking state, even though it's in a higher space, but you haven't fully fallen asleep or left the body in a meditation, you still have enough custodianship over the real estate of the body and the energetic space around the body for them not to be able to interfere. You have to vacate for them to go in.
How do entities interact with that? Do they just reinforce them, or are the entities kind of just another layer of added
nonsense? Another interface. It's another conversation in the room that is your body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. This is why the conversation about consciousness has been so prevalent this year.
And it also works into what we were talking about. Our last meditation, Catherine, I think it was on surrender.
Yeah. And that level of indifference. Okay, the script of an implant, whatever. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got to, so when I'm saying measures, I'm talking about the level of surrender. That you are able and willing to
embody.
And when you do that, you're okay.
But that's like,
that is like supreme protection, is all I can say. So that when I say measure, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, the key is consciousness and the claim of ownership of the real estate of the body.
Yeah.
So if you're in a meditation, let's say in those New Earth meditations where I'm talking for like 40 minutes, I'm not in my body, but I am fully tethered to my body, which is why I can talk coherently while I'm doing other stuff. And that tether maintains the claim to the physical vessel.
That's right. So yeah.
You can't do that when you sleep. Yes, you're tethered, so you come back to that's not the same level of tether. It's an active communication pathway or pipeline in the meditation. If you do that while you're sleeping, you're not sleeping.
Mm-hmm. You can also, when you're coming back into your body from sleep, for example, you're waking up, you can observe everything that's taken place. You don't have to own it.
The issue is when it comes into chemical imbalances, right?
Yeah.
Especially when an emotion like melancholy comes up, it's so intense, it hits you and you're like.
Yeah, but if you catch it before it actually.
Honestly, at this stage, I'm watching it. And when I watch it, I get that's an implant. I'm totally fine with this now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm.
It's like on the game board, you just identified like a wrinkle in the board. You don't keep tripping over it. You know it's there. You step over it. That's kind of.
Yeah. And that That's where the nuance sits. You have to be aware of it.
So happy holidays, everyone. This was fun. Any questions before we go? Or comments? That's cool too.
Just more to navigate. Yeah, I feel like, oh my gosh, there's more. And there's more.
Yeah, there's more, yeah. Expansion. Do you feel contracted at all?
I did today a bit. I'm like,
but after this conversation with the more, do you feel like you're suddenly too small?
Yes.
So I'm now, like, it's about finding that still point. Mm-hmm. The top of the breath or the bottom of the breath. Go into it for just a second. Don't close the throat. Exhale completely or inhale fully and stay there in that buoyancy and feel every aspect of you suddenly expanding like a supernova. It's not a base camp elevation. It is an accelerated expansion. How much you maintain of that expansion up to you, but it's a nice decompression, a really fast decompression.
No, it's remembering to do that is nice, because I, this whole week, I'm like, I feel tight. I feel really tight. Like, I can't stay in this.
Yeah. Well, this week has been a lot about choosing whether to repeat patterns from the past. Mm-hmm. They call them traditions, but really it's patterns. Which patterns do you still feel aligned with enough not to feel tight in? And which ones are too small? You don't keep shoes from when you were four. So come on now.
Yeah. Good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. So much fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tata, take off.